All right, Hebrews chapter number 10. It's a serious day we live in, isn't it? It's a serious day. We just need to pray and do our part. Everyone has a part. I hope you understand that. Everyone has a part. We've been going through the book of Hebrews, and tonight I want to share some truths with you that I hope will be a help to you and a blessing to you. I want to remind you that as we get into the book of Hebrews again tonight, that it's discussing believers who had come out of Judaism into Christianity. They have received the Lord as their personal Savior. These religious people that I were mentioning earlier, they had the ceremonies, they had the rituals, they had the sacrifices, and they went through all of these things, and then they got saved out of what's called Judaism. And when they got saved, they were to leave some things behind and go on in their new life. Just like when we get saved, we're to leave some things behind and we're to go on into our new life in Christ. Now, for me, it was not Judaism. That was not what I was leaving behind. I was not leaving behind the religion of the Jews. I was leaving behind an old carnal life without God. But nonetheless, I had some things that I need to leave behind, and I need to go on as I grow in grace. And I have to understand that, you know, there's battles. There's the flesh and the spirit. There's things that's going to take place as I grow. Well, these believers were no different, just facing maybe some different obstacles than what most of you and I that are here tonight would face. And so, as we look at this 10th chapter, the first part of the chapter, down through chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, it deals with, okay, now that you're saved, now that you're a Christian, you have to understand that you don't go back into the old sacraments. You don't go back to the religious system that you were a part of. But you have some things that you can involve yourself in, and it's a new way. And so he talks about that. And I want to give you some thoughts beginning in our reading in verse number 19. And this is just, you have to understand when these believers that were Jewish, when they heard some of these things, we hear it all the time, all right? We that have been saved, we've heard this, and we never experienced going to the tabernacle and carrying, I don't think anyone here, now if you have, you have to raise your hand and enlighten me, ever carried a lamb or ever carried a sacrifice to the priest and met him at the gate, you know, of the tabernacle, and he went and he offered that that animal or that lamb on the brazen altar, and then he would take the blood and he would wash his hands at the laver and then take the blood into the first veil, into the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, and then he would go beyond that into the holiest of all, beyond the veil, one time a year, the high priest on the high day of atonement, making sacrifices for the people. So you have to understand, this is what the people were accustomed to, all right? And then when they hear this, all right, so here is an apostle. The Spirit of God has moved on him to write these folks and tell them this in verse number 19. Having, therefore. So basically, he's saying, because of what I've said, you have some things. Because you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I trust that everyone here knows Jesus as your personal Savior. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're missing out on a lot. All right. Now, the devil will tell you that if you get saved, if you get in church, if you serve God with your life, you're missing out on a lot. He's a liar. Okay, he's a liar and the father of lies. All right. And I want you to understand that. For many years, I believed his lies. And there are those sitting under the sound of my voice. You believed his lies. When he would tell you that those church people, that church down there, those religious people, you know, boy, they're the no fun bunch. Listen, lies. All lies. And just trying to bring confusion and diversion, trying to distract and keep you away from the truth. Glad day of my life. Just recently, Sharon and I celebrated 40 years of being a Christian. We got saved October the 26th, 1980. What a glad day in my life when I got born again. Amen? Nothing like it. The greatest day in my life, and I can say it without hesitation. I married a great woman. In my eyes, the best woman in the world. That was a great day in my life, but there's no greater day in my life than when I got saved in the grace of God. What a great day. And so he said here, having therefore, brethren, you that are saved in verse 19, watch what he says now. Remember, he's writing to Hebrews. He's writing to Jewish people who could never go beyond the veil. And he said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Now, you know, you just have to know, when a Jewish person read that, they were thinking, wow, what? You know, what? Yeah, you know, I have access into the holiest. Only the high priest had that access. You're saying that I have that access. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Amen. I hope you exercised it today. Amen. Yeah. You know, the value of something really is shown by the response to how you go about that value. Have you responded to that, the value of the fact that you have access into the presence of God Almighty? The God that spoke everything into existence has called you and has called me into his presence. And he says, let's talk. How's the family? Amen? How are things going down on the job? How are things working out for you? Right? God wants to communicate. And so here, he's telling these Jewish believers, as well as this is written for all of us. The Bible's for all of us, but the first intended readers, the book of Hebrews, was to Jewish believers. So when they read this, they were thinking, this is so foreign from what we're accustomed to. We never got to go in there. We never got to go into it. We always had to bring our sacrifice and stop, right? Only the high priest could go into the holiest. And now you're saying that I can go into the holiest? Look at it again in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. You don't have to, you know, be skittish and am I doing the right thing? Are you sure? Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how much you know about what went on with the high priest, but if the high priest went in and God didn't accept the sacrifice, done. His life was over, right? If he had sin in his life, if he was not right with God and went in, done. So this was a very serious situation here. And yet, he said, you can go in with boldness. You should go in. He said, boldness, he mentioned in verse number 19. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. He said, you can go in with full assurance of faith. You know, you can go in with confidence. Right? This is something that God has established. Men are always, you know, shying away from God. I remember before I got saved, I just didn't want to be in any conversations talking about God. You know what I'm talking about, brethren? I mean, when men began or people began to talk about God or Jesus or church or heaven or hell, I didn't want to be a part of those conversations. I felt very uncomfortable, and I got away from those conversations. Now it draws me, amen? I could hear somebody across the room mention Jesus, and I'm over there in a flash. Hey, let me get over here and see what's going on about Jesus, amen? Yeah. It attracts me. It used to repel me. How about you? And so he said here, having therefore, in verse number 19, having therefore. And so he's basically here saying, I want you to keep this word in your mind. He's saying, this is a reality. Now I want you to keep that word. He's going to discuss a reality. Now this is hard to comprehend. And you can read over this and really not fully comprehend what is being said here. Basically, and I'm just going to break it right down and bring it to the ground floor here. God is saying, I invite you, sinful man, into my presence as a holy God. You can come in into my presence, and we can communicate and we can talk. Now, to know that the God of heaven wants an audience with you, an audience with me, that is very humbling and yet very exciting at the same time. And so he said here, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Now, you just can't go in on your own. So there's a few questions that are answered here. Number one, look if you would, he's answering the question, what? Okay, boldness to enter. You have that. See, when you get saved, you have boldness to enter. There was a time when I shied away from God. I didn't want to talk about God. I didn't want to talk to God. Maybe when I got in trouble, right? You know, just to get me out of this situation. Get me out of this fix situation. But I didn't have that boldness. He said, but now that you're saved, you have a boldness. You don't have to shy away. You can go into the presence of God. So that's the what. You have a boldness. Having therefore, now that you're saved, now that Jesus is your Savior, now that your sins have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, you have this boldness about you. You may not even realize it until you begin to exercise it, that you can now go into the presence of God. It's what he's saying. So that's the what. You have this boldness. Now, the where. The where. Look at what he said in verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. That's the where. The holiest. That's speaking of the holy of holies. Not just that's made with hands. We spoke about that Sunday morning. Made with hands. No, the holy of holies in heaven. The very presence of God. We have access to the very throne of God. Think about that, brethren. Think about that just for a moment. It's a wonderful thing to know that we have audience with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I hope you don't forfeit that now. The old devil will try to get you busy and try to get things going on, you know, to where we'll forfeit the opportunity that God has afforded us to come into his presence. Now, he answered the what, he answered the where. Here's why. Why could they, that one time could not? Only the high priest could, and that only on the high day of atonement, one time a year. Why? Here's what he said, look at it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood. That's why. The blood has been applied. The blood has been applied. Please listen to me. I know that we live in a day when folks say, well, you know, preacher, I don't like all that preaching about the blood. I love it. I love preaching about the blood of Jesus. Amen. You see, it's the blood of Jesus that cleanseth us from all sin. You cannot be saved. You cannot be cleansed. You will not go to heaven if the blood of Jesus has not been applied to your life. If you have not accepted the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, you cannot go to heaven. But by the blood of Jesus, we have access. We have boldness to go into his presence. And then who has provided that? He said, the blood of Jesus. Not of a lamb, not of the firstling of a flock, not of a heifer, but of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. That's a reality. Now you could imagine what these Hebrew believers, as they was having this read to them for the very first time, they were just no doubt taken away and thinking, wow, this is something. You know, here we were thinking that, you know, we're saved, but we're somehow going to have to lean on this system that we grew up in. You know, we do the same. Right, let me show you something. Turn, if you would, Paul says something very similar to the Gentiles. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want you to see this because we do the same thing, all right? We do the same thing. Maybe not with religion, but we think, okay, I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I told God I was sorry for my sin. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. He was buried. He rose again. I invited him to come into my life, and I got saved. By the way, that's the way you get saved. Amen. You don't get saved by just, you know, wishing on a prayer or you know, thanking your lucky stars or whatever else, you know, some weird way that people think. You get saved by getting drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will draw you. He will show you you are a sinner. Have you ever talked with somebody and you say, you know, you're a sinner, and they just look at you like, oh, not me. Well, the Spirit of God's not working in their heart. Because I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God, the first thing that he'll begin to show you is you are a sinner. Amen. And you need to be saved. Amen. So the Spirit of God will begin to work in your heart and show you you're a sinner. And then he'll show you that your sin, not anything else, but your sin has condemned you into an eternal hell. And then you'll see Jesus as your only hope. See, the Spirit of God does all of this. Then he'll give you the gift of faith to believe the record that God has given of his Son. And this is the record that God has given unto us, eternal life. and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. See, the Spirit of God does that in your heart. Amen. If you got saved, you know what I'm talking about. If you're saved, that happened some way or another. That happened in your life when you got saved. But then something happens after that. And Paul's writing here to Gentile believers in Galatians 3. Are you there? Now remember over in Hebrews chapter 10, he's writing to Jewish believers. And he's saying you have access, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to lean on your religion anymore. You can trust Christ to lead this new life that you have in him. We Gentiles, we lean too. Notice what it says here in Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 3. Well, let's go back to verse number 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Amen. All right? Some of those Judaizers had come to this Gentile church and tried to tell them, oh, listen, yeah, you're saved by grace, but now the law, you're going to have to still keep the law. Well, you've never kept the law. You never will. The only man that ever kept the law, religious people killed him. Say amen. Amen. Isn't that something? Over 1,500 years trying to keep the law, never could. Then one came and kept the law, and they killed him. Yeah, that's right. So he said, do you believe now that you were drawn by the Holy Spirit, saved by the grace of God, and now you're going to have to depend on the law now that you're saved? Look at verse 3 of Galatians 3. Are you so foolish? Now, a lot of Baptists couldn't take that kind of preaching today. Well, the preacher called me foolish. I'm not coming back. Well, if you're acting foolish, then it's a good question to be asked. And if you really believe that you're saved by grace and now you have to keep the law to stay saved, that's foolish. Sure it is. He said, are you so foolish? Look at verse number 3. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Do you think that going back to the old way of doing things is what's going to keep you saved? Well, I've got to do good works. Well, I got to keep it, preacher, you know. Well, you know, I don't want to lose it. You know, listen, it's not yours to lose. What'd you ever do to buy salvation? Eternal redemption was purchased by the blood of Jesus. Amen. He's given it to you as a gift. And so, see, the Gentiles did it too, and they had to be reminded. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to bring out a few truths, and then I'll be through tonight, okay? Just want to give you a few truths out of Hebrews 10 here. So in verse number 19, he's saying, look, you have access. He said, this is a reality. That God that was so far removed from you in the Old Testament, listen to me now, that was so far removed, that banned you, that said you can't come in, that said you cannot come in, now says, because his Son has made the way, because his Son has paid the price, because his Son has been the forerunner and has entered into the holiest of all with his blood and applied his blood on the mercy seat for the sins of men, women, boys, and girls in the whole world, those that have trusted him can now come in. That's a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. When you view God, I hope to God, if you're saved, you don't think God is some distant, you know, he's way out there. Listen, he's in you if you're saved. Yes, sir. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. See, Jesus brings God up close and personal. These people were not used to that. He was distant. He was only seen through cloudy pillar and through high priest and through the lawgiver Moses. But now that they're saved, he said, hey, you can have a personal, up close and personal relationship with the God of heaven. It's a wonderful thing. He says in verse number 20, this comes by a new and living way. It's new. And it's living, which means fresh. It's new and living. By a new and living way, which he, meaning Jesus, hath consecrated for us. You see, you can't do it on your own. You can't get to heaven on your own now. I have people tell me, I try to witness to folks everywhere I go. In some form or another, sometimes I can only just hand them a tract. Sometimes I get to talk with them some. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't. And the Spirit of God really whips me. He whips me. How about you? You see, I don't feel comfortable making contact with people and walking away without giving them a witness. I don't ever want to get there. I don't ever want to get there. Now, I've walked away from it, and God has told me, what's wrong? You ashamed of me? Sometimes I've had to hang my head and say, I don't know, Lord. I hope it wasn't that. Well, what was it then, son? Right? Hey, right, brethren? Yeah. We need to witness every opportunity that God gives us. Here the scripture says in verse number 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. See, I can't get to heaven on my own. The only way I can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The only way anyone can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. They need to hear about him. They need to hear about him. So many people don't know him. They know about him. They know about him. Can I tell you that we're getting ready to embark upon a season? It's my favorite time of the year. I love Christmas. But I get a little discouraged when I see the way people view Christmas. They think Jesus is still a baby. You know, little baby Jesus. Hey, Jesus is not little baby Jesus. No. Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto him. And I realize he was a babe. And I realize that he grew in stature with men and God. But so many people, in their minds, they just see Jesus in a manger or Jesus on a cross. Can I tell you, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty on high. He's the Savior of the world. And I would to God that all men would see him that way, don't you? Amen. I do. I want all men to know my Savior. I want all to know this wonderful Savior that I have. He said here that he's consecrated for us. Jesus paved the way now so that we could go into the presence of God. It's the only way. It's the only way man can have entrance into the presence of God is through Jesus Christ. When you go to pray, whether it be tonight, tomorrow, remember now, Jesus made that possible. He made it possible that you could even bow your heart and your head and go into the presence of God and utter a prayer to a holy God. Jesus made that possible. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. And he said, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Of course, when the veil of the temple was rent, that's a picture of the old wall of partition being broken down, but it's also a picture of the flesh. It's a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus. And by his death, now we can have entrance into the presence of God in the holiest. And that's what he's writing here unto these Jewish believers. But it's to you and I too. Now, he said, with that in mind, we have a high priest over the house of God. And then he says this, and I want to give you this, and I'll give you just some headline thoughts, and we'll get into them in detail next week. There's some words I want you to underline. Do you write in your Bible? If you don't, then write beside it or write on your hand or write on the person next to you's hand. Amen. Look at verse number 22, 23, and 24. They all began this way. They all began, let us, let us, and let us. So here's some things that we're going to be asked to do. All right, let us do some things. Because we're saved, are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you have a personal relationship with God, then here's some things that you individually have been asked to do. And they're privileges. They're privileges. The first thing he said, it deals with God. So I want you to write that down. Godward. This is Godward. Because Jesus has done what he's done, you can do this Godward. All right, look what he said in verse number 22. Let us draw near with a true heart. You know, I fear that we're losing this in our day where people just kind of flippantly and casually go into the presence of God, just kind of snickering and giggling. This is something that's very serious. And so he said, listen, y'all be conscientious of whose presence you're in. Right? You don't just go busting up in the presence of God in an insincere way. And he said, you're to enter into his presence with a true heart. With a true heart, full, he said in verse 22, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, what's he saying here? He said there ought to be a measure of sincerity when we go into the presence of God. There ought to be a conscientiousness. There ought to be a cleanliness when we go. There ought to be some consecration in our hearts. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying, realize whose presence you're in. You're not talking to the preacher. You're not talking to your foreman. You're not talking to the president. You're talking to the God of heaven. And so he said, treat that with reverence and respect. And so he said, Godwardly, you have boldness to enter into his presence, but do it humbly. Do it sincerely. Understand who you're talking to, right? Understand. Do it with a true heart. You know, I fear that sometimes, and I think maybe all of us have tried in some way to maybe flank God out, you know? We play mind games, don't we? Yeah, it's not something we like to talk about, but we think, well, you know, I just want to flank God or fake God out and make him think this when it's really this. God knows what's in your heart. You do understand that, right? Amen. God knows what you're thinking. God knows why you're asking. God knows what you're going to do when things turn out this way or that way. And yet in our finite minds, in our minds that are so corrupt sometimes, we think, well, you know, I'll do this and I'll flank God or fool God. That's not going to happen. See, that's just the weakness of the flesh, isn't it? And so he said in verse 22, Godwardly, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. Then if you'll, and we'll come back and talk about that. I like what he said in verse 22 about an evil conscience. I believe that's talking about inwardly. And then he talked about our bodies. I believe that's talking about outwardly. And so this thing of being clean, there's outward sin. We call those sins of action. And then there's inward sin. We call those sins of attitude. Can I tell you that if we're not careful, all we'll think about in life are sins of action. There are people who will look on someone and somebody's going to leave here tonight and say, well, the preacher said that there's nothing wrong with smoking. No, the preacher didn't say that. Smoking's a sin. Man. But I'm going to tell you what. So is jealousy. Yes, so is bitterness. Yes, so is gossip. Yes, so is having aught in your heart against someone. But see, we like to look at the drinking and the smoking and the cursing. See, those are the outward, right? Yeah, but can I tell you, God looks on the heart too. God sees what's in our heart. And so if I'm holding ill will towards someone, God sees that. Man. God sees that. I want you to know that, okay? God sees if I'm holding ill will towards you. God sees if I'm gossiping. He hears. God knows if I'm tearing, I'm slandering against someone. God knows that. And while I might look on someone that's doing drugs and say, man, look at that person. And they say they're a Christian. And yet get around someone who is constantly tearing down and slandering someone's character and never have a problem with it. Hey, there's something bad wrong with that picture. Man. Amen. Now, again, I'm not saying that the outward sins are not sins. They're outward sins. I call it what it is. But the inward sins are sins too. And he said, when you go before God, you need to keep that in mind now. Right? Is that what he said in verse 22, church? Absolutely. Then he said, not only is there a Godward aspect, look at verse 23, there's a manward aspect. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, he's saying, now that you're saved, don't wobble on the axle. Don't keep wanting to go back, right? He said, look at it again in verse 22. Hold fast, the profession of our faith. Don't keep wanting to go back. See, there's a tug for us to want to go back, right? There's a tug for us to want to appease the flesh, to do it the fleshly way and not the spirit way. Right, church? Hey, right? Yeah. We have to understand this. This war never ends in this life. It never ends. And so he said, listen, he said, don't waver. Stay strong. That's why you need to go into the holiest. Amen. That's why we need to pray and get strength, because we're fighting a battle every day with ourselves most of the time. Yeah. And so he said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. So that's the manward, or the selfward, we could say. The next one is actually manward. So we have a Godward, let us draw near. We have a selfward, let us hold fast. And then here's a manward, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And we're going to get in detail in all of these. But I want you to look at that in particular, verse number 24. What's he saying there? Let us consider one another to what? To provoke. You know what that word, you know what it is to provoke someone, don't you? Ever been provoked? Hey, man, somebody answered that real quick. Well, I tell you, it's something to get provoked. Kind of stirs you up, kind of riles you up a little bit. Did you know when we come to church, well, and even, listen, you don't have to be in church. As Christians, we ought to be stirring each other up. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I have a responsibility to you. Now, in the first part of this section, verses 19, 20, and 21, he talked about a reality. We can go into the presence of God. When we come out of the presence of God, there is a responsibility. We ought to be fired up. We ought to be fired up. And he said, as far as manward or selfward, I should say, in verse 23, we ought to hold fast the profession. Keep your eye on the goal. But he said, then there's a responsibility we have to one another. We ought to stir one another up. We ought to look at each other and say, you know what? You can do this. You can do this. Right? Amen. Press forward. Pray. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't quit. There's a lot at stake here. There's people watching your life. There's people watching my life. We must carry on for the glory of God. There's young people watching us. The community's watching us. God knows that they need to see true Christianity in action. Somebody's saying, show me what God can do in a man's life. Someone's saying that's watching your life. They're wanting to see, is your God real? Is your God someone that lasts a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, a year, 2 years, or someone that can see you through? Thank God for that. And so he said here in verse number 24, he said, let us consider one another, to provoke one another. I like this. Two things, to love and to good works. We'll talk about those two things that we're to be provoking one another to love and to good works. So we have responsibility Godward, draw near. We have responsibility selfward, hold fast. And we have a responsibility manward, consider, to provoke, to stir one another up, to encourage one another. Hey, there's enough in life to discourage me. I don't need you to help it. Amen. Now, if you think that stirring me up is going to take a negative charge, I'll take it. I'm all right with that. You say, well, yeah, you are until I do it. Nah, there's been people in here who's come to me, and if you never have, I can take it. I'm not soft. As a matter of fact, I don't like soft. This society we live in, soft. Soft. You ought to be able to take somebody eyeing you up face to face and saying, you need to step it up. Amen. Amen. If it's done in love now. Ain't nobody going to tell me that. Yeah, I know. You're soft. Can't take it. That's what little children do. Little children get easily discouraged when you get on them about something. How do you do when someone comes and challenges you about something going on? You see, this is what makes us people of integrity and character, people that can get the job done. Right? Right? So he said here, he said, let us consider to provoke to love and good works. Sometimes it's good just to go to someone and say, brother, I see you dropping off a little bit. I think you need to step it up. God's been good, too good to you, and you're too gifted and too talented to give it less than your best. And then finally, verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. I want to give you an assignment for next week, all right? I want you to, there's two times in the New Testament, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. That word assembling is the same word as gathering in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. That's talking about the rapture, our gathering together unto Him. People say, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, I thank God for the church. I need the church. I need the church as a member. I need the church as a pastor. I need the church as a Christian. I need church. By the way, if you're saved, you do too. May not realize it, but glad day in your life when you realize you need church. You need it. We need church. And God said, don't abandon that. That's what the word forsake. When God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake, that means abandon. Don't abandon the church. In a day when it's become easy to abandon the church, don't you abandon the church. Whether I'm the pastor or not, whether it's here or not, always find yourself in a healthy, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, God-honoring church. It's good for your spiritual health. And it'll be good for those little ones that you're training up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let's stand. Now, when we come to church, the Bible says that we ought to exhort one another. We're going to talk about that. Sometimes the only exhorting we look for is from the preacher. But did you know you're an exhorter? You are. I hope you're choosing to exhort. Exhort people. Encourage people. It's amazing what we can do if we'll just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And so much the more as you see the day. What an interesting statement. The day. There's the day of Christ, and there's the day of the Lord. We're going to talk about that. The day of Christ is always in a connotation with the rapture. The day of the Lord, judgment. So you have joy and judgment. Day of Christ, joy. Day of the Lord, day of God, judgment. I'm glad it's the day of Christ for the church. Rapture. Amen. Well, here's some good exhortation from the Word of God. Some good encouragement. God has given us access into His presence. When you go into the presence of God and come out, God makes everything okay. May not understand everything. All your problems may not be fixed and solved, but somehow God gives a peace in spite of it all. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Let's bow our heads together.